Psalm 57 or 56. Let me see. Okay, Psalm 57. Okay, we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words and help us to know how to apply them to our days. Help us to thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. 56 and 57 both start off pretty much the same way. And so first I just want to lay down the doctrinal foundation. Remember, many of the Psalms are about the second coming. And when you go down to verse 3, right in the middle, you see the word Selah. That's a doctrinal hint that we're dealing with second coming. So this is an individual that will be in the tribulation time period, and he's praying, asking God for help. Okay, so that's who the guy is. And then we'll read it. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Okay, so it's trust. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. The calamities will be the tribulation, worst time ever known to man. He says, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Okay, swallow, that is literal. Okay, that's literal. Where this guy, if he is caught in a tribulation, he will literally be sacrificed in a religious ceremony, and they will swallow parts of him and drink his blood. And then the word Selah. That's for Petra, a place called Selah Petra. If the Jews are able to run down there, they get down there and they're able to hide the best they can in a rock city. So when he says that, that's a literal statement. And then the next sentence. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. Okay, is he talking about like Daniel in the lion's den? Is he talking about being in the lion's den? My soul is among lions. Remember that Daniel portrayed the Antichrist to be a combination of a lion, tiger, and bear all put together. And in Revelation 13:2, that's how he's portraying this. So his soul is among lions. In this context, he's dealing with being captive under governing authorities. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. So they're trying to catch the guy. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit for me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. And then he says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Okay, now let's go back to 56 and read that one also. It's the same idea, same context, same time period. He says, be merciful unto me, O God, for a man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest or wrestle. They rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God, and so forth. Okay, so the idea is this individual is in a very traumatic time, and doctrinally, it's going to be the tribulation. It's going to be the worst time ever known to man. And every day that goes by, we're getting closer and closer to it. Okay, thank God that the rapture does take place before the tribulation. The church is out of here. But still, there are some things that we can learn from this. Okay, if you want to, you can get a piece of currency out of your pocket or wallet. Okay, be it one, be it a five, be it 10, 20, 50, 100, Baptist, probably ones. And so each of those documents cost 3.5 cents to produce. And on the back of them, it will say the United States for America. And underneath there, it says, in God we trust. Now, it's funny that that is put on there by an organization that's a private corporation. That organization is most likely in cahoots or funding very many draconian events throughout the world. Okay, but we still take that advice. In God we trust. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 in the King James Bible. And I'm going to cite Bible references and cite just some of them because there's so much I got to give. We'll look at Jeremiah specifically. But 1 Timothy 6:10, it starts off, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Now, Satan is the source of all evil, but Satan will use the love of money, okay, as a conduit to promote all evil. So you're dealing with an organization that is madly in love with money. And that will attack our faith or trust in God. In God we trust. Now, Isaiah 26 is another context of a guy in the tribulation where he says this, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Okay, a person who watches the news all the time, mind is not stayed on God. And it'll be going like this all the time. Okay, I'm not saying don't watch it, but I'm just saying that's the outcome. Now, we learn from history that we seldom learn from history. And the Bible is the only true history book that's ever been written. Now, all history books are written by the victors of the war. Okay, and so they're untrustworthy. If a man is conservative, he'll write the history towards his persuasion. If a man is liberal, he'll write it towards his persuasion. There's no truly objective news. There's no truly objective history book. Everybody puts their influence, their accent upon this event or this event or this event, where the Bible is the only true history book. So we can go to the Bible history and trust its history. And there's a fella in the past that lived through the destruction of his nation. He lived through it and he writes about it. And his name is Jeremiah. Got 52 chapters. And then he writes 5 extra chapters describing the Jews in Jerusalem after the Babylonian destruction. It's a doctrinal picture of the tribulation because Jeremiah just might show up again. He just might. Okay, now we can go to Jeremiah and we can get some real good, solid information. And this gives us understanding so we can rest in God. Okay, now, our third president said, "A nation of sheep will have a government of wolves." And he said that if we do not keep the people abreast, he's telling his cohorts, people in the governing structure, if we do not keep the people alert to government structure, we will become wolves and they will be the sheep. That was the third president. Now, they've all gotten better since him, obviously. Okay, and so that's what he said. Now, that's an honest man in that regards. Okay, now, fear is a way to manipulate sheep. Fear is a way for sheep to eventually beg government, wolves, to help us, to save us. Okay, one of the characteristics of David's mighty men, you find it in 2 Chronicles 12, one of the characteristics was that they understood the times, and then they knew what to do. Do we understand our times? Do we understand what's being promoted or tried to be pushed upon our culture and the world itself. Do we understand it? Do we understand our times? The King James Bible is the only book that exposes the workings of Satan, and a believer does not have to be confused, confounded, or conformed to the ways of the world if you believe what this book says. So I'm going to give you some thoughts this morning about the idea of in God we trust. The first thought is that we need to remember that the Bible portrays kings and kingdoms as doves or beasts of prey. Daniel chapter 7, verse 17. In Daniel chapter 7, if you want to take time, look at them. Please do when you got some time. Don't believe a word I say unless you see it in the Bible for yourself. But in Daniel 7, Daniel had a vision of a lion, a bear, a leopard, and then a fourth beast with an culmination of these three. That's the Antichrist. And he said, the beast are kings and kingdoms. So if you were placed in a zoo and you were pushed into a cage, a lion is there in the cage, obviously you're going to snuggle up to it and pet it and say, what a wonderful, this thing loves me, I can trust it, it's a fine creature. Right. You're going to become, you know, they don't have to feed that lion for about 3 days. Okay, the idea in the Bible is be alert. Revelation chapter 13, the Antichrist is portrayed as a lion, a bear, and a leopard put together. In Ezekiel 26-32, there are seven chapters in a row. Most any Bible teacher will run you to Ezekiel 28 for one of the descriptions of the anointed cherub or Lucifer. But there are seven chapters in a row in Ezekiel that he writes about the Antichrist and the devil, and he describes them, second most character in the Bible. And one of the words that's found 11 times in seven chapters is the word terror, where God said Lucifer or the cherub will be a terror. George Bush coined the phrase or started using that phrase after 9/11, terror. It has now become an enemy of the state. And what that does, it creates fear in the hearts of people. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Let not their terror. That's the word. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. It is all part of a Bible program. God in heaven has everything laid out just as pretty as could be. And you can sit back and read the morning newspaper in that book, written 400 years ago, if you believe what it says. In Matthew 24, somebody asked Jesus about the signs of his coming or the end times, and he said, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of war. How do you hear of rumors of war? The news industry, the media, where they're trying to program people. That's the intent. Do we understand what's trying to be pushed across us? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, when Satan tempted the Lord Jesus, one of the temptations went in this fashion. If you bow and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. What does a person conclude from that? Whoever gets power on all the kingdoms of the world has had an agreement with Satan somewhere privately. And this is why religion and politics are not to be discussed, because those are the two influences, spheres of influence that Satan does most of his work, religion and politics. Now, if you study conspiracies, all the conspiracies have to run through one church, which is a state, religion and politics. There's one church on this earth here that is a religion and is a government at the same time, religion and politics. It's the smallest government in the world. It has its own currency, its own army. Many of the Nazi officials fled to this institution and found asylum after World War II, and then they were passed out to like Argentina or some other religious structure. And almost all the conspiracies of the world have to run through or under the umbrella of the Jesuits. Okay, and that's part all of that thing. And a person's not surprised by it. So what do? We go to the Bible and we find out. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 18, we find that there is a church that is a religion, and it has ambassadors to the kings of the earth. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says that in the latter times men shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And in verse 2 it says, and those doctrines of devils forbid them to marry and command them to abstain from meats. Do you know a church that forbids somebody to marry and commands them to abstain from meats? And in verse 6 it says, if thou keep them in remembrance, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to do, to be a good minister. Okay, and so that's 1 Timothy chapter 4. So the idea we're getting across here is the Bible portrays kings and kingdoms to be beasts of prey. The second thought is this, is order out of chaos is the doctrine that rules the world. What is that? Order out of chaos. Look it up. Order out of chaos. Somebody creates chaos, usually the wolves, and then the sheep beg for order to the wolves, not knowing that the wolves were the one that caused the chaos, because they found somebody else to blame them. A person says, boy, you're pretty cynical. That sounds like conspiratorial. It sure does, doesn't it? Why? Because I go back to a man who lived through the destruction of a nation. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 9, do you know what he believed in? A conspiracy. It says the word in the Bible. Jeremiah 11, verse 9. If you would take your time, take some time and go back and look, because I'm going to look at Jeremiah 11, verse 9. He said there's a conspiracy amongst the people. Now, it's the people that's not the enemy. The sheep's not our enemy. It's the wolves that I'm taking my 66 caliber and trying to put some buckshot in them and so they bark. Okay, but still the idea is that's what we got to be aware of. Wolves often deceive sheep by coming in sheep's clothing. So in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 9, Jeremiah talked about a conspiracy. Now his cohort, his counterpart, and his a person who lived at the same time was a guy named Ezekiel. Ezekiel was taken captive and he was one of the second group that was taken captive over to Babylon. Of the over 4,000 people, he was one of them. And he said in Ezekiel 22:25, there is a conspiracy amongst the prophets. So there's a political conspiracy and there's a religious conspiracy, and both of these will run through the church state of Revelation 17 and 18. Operated by Rome. Now, then if you would go to Jeremiah chapter 9. Now, in order for sheep to do some of the bidding of the wolves, you really got to have some deception going on. Now, here's Jeremiah describing people who lived in Jerusalem amongst him right before Judah was conquered by Babylon. Jeremiah 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. This is why he's called the weeping prophet. He witnessed the calamities. He witnessed the killing. He saw the dead bodies in the streets. He said, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men. Yes, that's a natural reaction. You know, a prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. But what about the people whose aren't hid? Where's our ministry? Yeah, you can run and hide. Okay? And then he says this, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They bend their tongues like a bow for lies. There's the national news media. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive everyone as neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is a midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Now that's what Jeremiah saw. Now was he a reactionary? Was he overreacting? Oh, come on, Jeremiah, you can't tell me that everybody's a liar. You can't. You honestly can't say that. Well, in Jeremiah chapter 5, God told Jeremiah, I want you to run through the broad places, and I want you to see if you can find a man who executes justice and seeks the truth. So execute justice, that's the political realm, judge courtrooms, political realm. Seeks the truth, that's the synagogues, that's the Jewish realm, that's the religious realm. So he said, Jeremiah, I want you to go into the political structures. I want you to run through all the halls of Congress and everything that you got in Jerusalem. And I want you to see if you can find one man who executes justice. And then I want you to go to all the synagogues and all the seminaries and all and the Jewish temple. And I want you to see if you can find one man. If you find one man, I will pardon Jerusalem. I'm just looking for one. I mean, he allowed Sodom and Gomorrah to have 10. Jerusalem was worse. And what happened? Couldn't find one. They didn't get pardoned. They got destroyed as a nation. And so that's from him. Now there's a Jew up in Chicago. I think he's a mayor. I don't know if he's a literal Jew, if he's a fake Jew. I'm not quite certain. I don't know his lineage. He said one time, you never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that is an opportunity to do things you think you could not do before. That's what Rahm Emanuel said. But what's he talking about? He's talking about either false flags or fake events to move people emotionally, the sheep, to say, please help us. We want peace and say, take our guns from us. We're tired of this. Now, if you go back in history, okay, a false flag came from the idea where the Navy ships and the pirates and everything, where they would put a flag or a standard on their boat, their ship, and that told people who they were standing for, but if they put a false one up, then it was a method of deception. A false flag is when an event takes place, somebody could orchestrate the event, but then the event is blamed on somebody else, and that becomes an emotional charge against that somebody else. What kind of a person would order the death of a one-day-old baby boy to 2-year-old boy and allow that to take place and send his police officers and his soldiers throughout Israel and kill, murder every one-day-old boy to 2 years? And there's a fella named Herod that did that. As any lion that would kill anything in his path and wouldn't bat an eye at it. And then there's a fellow a few years later by the name of Nero who wanted a certain plot of property to build himself another palace, and the Roman Senate turned him down. He wouldn't let him do it, and conveniently it got burned down. That was miraculous. Oh, God is moving in mysterious ways. And he got his property, and who did he blame for the burning of Rome? Christians. And he started murdering them right and left with the lions in the amphitheaters. Years ago in our country, we had a fellow that didn't like what was going on. He saw that his power was losing power, and so he goaded the South to attack Fort Sumner and then started the War of Northern Aggression in the history books called the Civil War. A few years later, World War I, there was a sinking of a passenger ship called the Lusitania. That was used by Woodrow Wilson to get the United States in World War I. A few years go by, where Hitler was going to lose some political power, and the Reichstag caught on fire. A big building, Reichstag goes on fire, and who gets blamed for that? Oh, we're going to find out who did that, and then Hitler gets some most political power as a result of that. Right before an election took place, he becomes the hero. A few years go by, 1939, August 31st, a fake invasion was broadcast over the radios in Poland. It was absolutely fake. Everything was fake. They just pushed it on the radio, and Polish people got all excited. September 1st, World War II starts. But how do you get the United States involved in something like that? Well, FDR had foreknowledge of Pearl Harbor. You see, a lot of these things, you learn the truth about it as time goes on. But then you can't do anything about it anyway. And people say, what's the use? As those Japanese planes came in and bombed Pearl Harbor, and now America's all riled up, and we get us, our country, in World War II. I'm not blaming the good soldiers and the faithful people at the bottom. I'm not talking about the sheep. I'm talking about the wolves. Good old FDR. Operation Northwoods was planned attacks against Americans to blame Cuba, and then what came about as the Bay of the Pigs, planned by JFK and Bobby Kennedy, and then that one backfired. But yet, just a couple years later, there's a Gulf of Tonkin, where LBJ used the Gulf of Tonkin to get fine young people involved in a war in Vietnam. Then in the most recent history, on 9/11, George Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney and Giuliani had foreknowledge of 9/11. And there was so much foreknowledge of 9/11 that you could see a British broadcaster on a BBC broadcast reporting about tower number 2 has fallen and the tower was behind her standing. Amazingly. 9/11, where concrete and metal turned to dust and fell at the speed of gravity. As Larry Silverstein, or whatever the guy's name is, bought the property about 4 or 6 months before that, and had a problem with asbestos in a building, a good way to do that is just to have somebody attack it. And admitted on that same day that they pulled building number 7 that wasn't hit by anything, when it takes about 2 weeks to a month to implode a building, and somehow, miraculously, that was done on one single day. Amazingly. And since that day, 9/11, everything has changed in our country. You say, what about those things? Learn yourself. There's so many questions about this stuff that's out there. I mean, the most amazing thing, if you get on YouTube, type in British BBC broadcast, Tower 2. And they haven't pulled that off yet. And you'll see that British broadcaster, reporter, woman reporter, saying Tower 2 has fallen, then she'll move her head. Well, there it is! And it didn't fall for about 30 or 40 minutes later. At the speed of dust falling with gravity. And there were 2 rooms in the bottom of those. Both of those buildings were 14 survivors and 13 survivors in those buildings. And when the dust settled, they looked around and said, where'd the building go? Something was really strange that day as a hurricane hovered out in the Atlantic Ocean on that specific day. Some amazing military weapon was unleashed that day. And here we are, sheep, trying to figure out what the wolves have been doing. Major events will pressure the people of America to beg for gun confiscation. That's the intent. The media will continually promote the emotional response and hysteria in sync with governing authorities. One CNN reporter just recently quit CNN because of dishonesty. She was honest. Where she said they're being paid by a foreign country down in Africa that has so many human rights violations, and they don't want that reported, and they pay CNN to look and turn the other way. And she said, I quit. There's one honest one. Not anymore, though. It gets worse. Some of us are old enough to remember Ruby Ridge and Randy Weaver, where Randy Weaver's wife is holding a little baby, and she gets shot dead, and the baby gets shot dead, then the baby gets charged with murder. And then the guy that shot the baby becomes involved in Waco bombing down, or the Waco tragedy down with David Koresh. He got promoted.
where they had no survivors. Because you see, Randy Weaver sued in that governing structure and won a $3 million lawsuit. And have we forgotten about Randy Weaver? What a tragic thing that took place in Ruby Ridge. And then Waco and David Koresh, as Janet Reno ordered the death of 26 children as they gassed those kids. And then you have Oklahoma bombing, where at Oklahoma University just down the road said that there were two explosions that day. The seismograph said two explosions. It definitely wasn't a truck bomb. Wasn't just a truck bomb. Somebody planted stuff inside there, and all of a sudden that fades away. And then we see all these shootings. Columbine in April of 1999, where the drug companies made sure they came in and got the prescription drugs of those boys, the mind-altering drugs. Nobody says anything about that. And then you got Virginia Tech in 2007. Then you got Fort Hood in November of 2000. Fort Hood, a shooting at an Army base. Come on. You got to be kidding somebody. And then you got the Aurora Theater shooting, July 2012. Where there were multiple shooters. And then Sandy Hook. Oh, Sandy Hook. Oh, wonderful Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook, you get on the FEMA's website, and FEMA's website on that date was a FEMA training day from 9 to 4 of how to rescue children at a school shooting. And then they have crisis actors come in and pretend that their child got shot and killed that day. And you know, amazingly, some of those kids got resurrected and sang at halftime in a Super Bowl about 3 years later. That was an absolute, complete hoax. Some of them are false flags where something's taking place, and some of them are just absolutely pretended. And evidence, you see, the problem is the reason why we're seeing so many of these is the internet is allowing a lot of independent investigation and is having a tough time trying to cover up some of these things. San Bernardino, California, 14 people supposedly died December 2015. Orlando nightclub massacre. You ever see any footing on that? 49 people died. No ambulances. No blood anywhere. Nothing. Most likely all faked. And last week, Las Vegas. And you're getting all sorts of stuff coming out. Oh, on the conservative side, he was an ISIS. He was ISIS. He was ISIS. On the other side, this. The truth and reality is probably a CIA gun runner because he was closely associated with Fast and Furious under Obama administration. And there's probably a fallout between the CIA and the FBI. And people at that concert, many people testified of multiple shooters. I saw actual video footage of shooting coming from floor 4 and 10 on that day. Now, here's the common threads of these things. And I've just hit, if you type in mass shootings, you're talking about 200 to 300, a list of them. Okay? And the thing is on the back of that currency, it says, in God we trust. Because we see what's going on. There's common threads. Common threads is mind-altering drugs or medication are never mentioned. Never mentioned. Another common thread, there are always multiple shooters being witnessed, but a sleight of hand changes it to one party. On Monday morning, Dad, Mom, and I were traveling up north, and the actual news broadcast said that there was a woman that announced 45 minutes before the shooting that you're all going to die this today. You see, once in a while, it slips through the cracks. But then they got to pull that out, and I haven't heard a word about that woman again. That happens all the time. And then another common threat is immediately after this, the Democrats call for gun confiscation. Oh, they call it gun control. But it's gun confiscation is their intent. And when a nation confiscates guns from people, you're talking mass genocide. Look at Pol Pot. Look at Stalin. Look at Hitler. Okay, that's what happens. The amazing thing is if you're looking for work, Anybody looking for work? Get online. Type in crisis actors. They need a lot of crisis actors. There are actually companies that hire people for crisis acting. Meaning, you go to the crisis and you pretend that you were a victim. I have video footage of the same woman works for CNN. She was at Sandy Hook, December 2012. 4 months later, she was at the Boston bombing, interviewed, April 2013. 4 days later, she was at Watertown shooting, interviewed. Same glasses, same big nose, different colored hair, same voice, same testimony. Multiple bombs. We heard multiple bombs. At a train derailment, May 2012, there she, this woman has bad luck. And then at San Bernardino, you see her working as a CNN employee, moving around the cords before the broadcast. It is the same cotton-picking woman. She gets hired as a crisis actress. And you can see fake blood where one guy has his hand like this and he goes over to this person, he puts the fake blood on him, then he comes back this way, and then they take the pictures. You say, that's pretty cynical. You ain't kidding. Nothing like this ever happens in Switzerland. Why is that? Switzerland has gun galore. Every young person in Switzerland is required to go to the military for, I'm not sure if it's 3 months or 6 months. I think it's 6 months. And they take their assault rifle home with them. And Adolf Hitler wanted to attack Switzerland, but his German officer said, we're not going to Switzerland. They got a sniper in every house. Two world wars went on around a little country called Switzerland. Why? One is guns, is two, they mind their own business. They're non-interventionist. And they truly care for their own people. And does anybody know the president or the prime minister of Switzerland? No, we don't. That's the way it's supposed to be. Why? It's because they're supposed to be public servants behind the scenes. Now, one can be overcome with fear of a constant investigation, or one continue to worship God, wait for His Son, and walk in the Spirit. That's what the Lord wants from us. See, Psalms 27, verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way. Fret not thyself because of the Illuminati. Fret not thyself because of the Jesuits and the Club of Rome and the Pope and company and the national news media. And you just go on with all the conspiracies, the FBI, the CIA, you can go on and on and on. Fret not because of that. Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. And then he says, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Resist the confusion of man. Matthew 10, verse 17, Jesus told the apostles, beware of men. Paul told the Philippians, he said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, beware of dogs, beware of evil men, beware of the concision. I found that interesting, concision, not circumcision, concision. Not circumcision, though. That a fake Jew or a Jewish apostate, a concision, have no confidence in the flesh. The center, a couple of center verses of the Bible says, It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Now I want to run back to Jeremiah real quick. Remember that Jeremiah? He's our historian that lived through what we are actually witnessing and seeing. Jeremiah chapter 12, he writes about this. And he researches the word. He researches and tries to figure out, God, what about this? You're holy and just, and these people are getting away with this. Well, what about that? What about that? Jeremiah 12, verse 1, he says, righteous art thou, O Lord. Okay, good statement. Yes, Lord, you are righteous. When I plead with thee, Lord, I'm going to plead with you about the events that I'm seeing. And then he says this. Yet let me talk with thee about thy judgments. He says, okay. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Why are they getting weary with that? How come they're not doing anything about that? Wherefore are they happy that deal very treacherously? Why is that going on? He said, thou hast planted them. The Lord is allowing this for a reason. Thou hast planted them. God could have uprooted them a long time ago. Yea, they have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. Isn't that amazing? On the back of that currency, God is near in their mouth. In God we trust, but far from their reins. That's the deception. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Don't forget that. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Oh yeah, I'm too busy trying to keep my heart right. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. He'll do that. He'll do that. So what can we do? Worship God, wait for his son, walk in the spirit, keep doing what we're supposed to do, resist the confusion of man, research the word of God more than you research the conspiracies. Know a little bit about that, but research this book. Know a lot about this book. Rest in the peace of God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, and let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and souls and mind through Christ Jesus. Reconciles confused sheep or souls that are confused with the strength of God. That's our ministry. It's a ministry of reconciliation. Strengthen them. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And rejoice in the soon coming of Jesus Christ. I mean, these are events the Bible has foretold about this 2,000 years ago. Are we surprised by it? When is the next one going to happen? There's going to be another. Why? Because they're having a tough time with this. Al Gore should have never invented this internet. It has made truly independent investigation instead of paid off 911 investigation. I mean, even if you believe, you say, maybe I got somebody who's just shocked by the things I'm saying. If you read the 911 commission report, and believe what they say. There were supposedly 19 pilots, 15 were Saudis. Why did we attack Iraq and not Saudi Arabia? And you know, some of those 15 were found alive in Saudi Arabia after that. How did that happen? And it's funny, there's no airplane parts to hit the Pentagon. How did that happen? And how does an airplane in Pennsylvania go right into the ground and there's nothing in that clay of Pennsylvania, and it's not scattered all over the county the way a normal crash takes place? There is so much lies being promoted, and all this stuff is getting ready for the tribulation, and thank God for the rapture. And all we got to do when we get to heaven, of course, we got to get ready for the judgment seat. And the television screens in heaven will be channel 7, that's heaven. Channel 13, that's the earth. You know, and that's the Antichrist, and then Channel 6, that's the earth. And if you want to watch each one of the things during the commercials and everything, but man, we got to be ready for the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, the God of this Bible, he's not shocked. When the God of this Bible can flick a devil off with his finger like I can flick a fly off, we'll take the advice, like Jesus said about the Pharisees, do as they say, but not as they do. So the Pharisees wrote on the back of that currency, in God we trust. Let's take that advice. That's what we need to do. Take that advice and trust in the almighty, omnipotent God of this Bible. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray and ask you to help us to understand. Help us to be people who understand the times. Help us to be people that understand what's happening and allow that to give the gospel to soothe or encourage the souls of people who are confused, to tell them about the Savior. Help us to rest in your word and wait patiently for you. Lord, this book is just amazing. Help us to stand back in awe of the Word of God and how it has foretold many of these events, not specifically like what we're seeing, this shooter, that shooter, this one, that one. This fake thing. Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be people that love you and your word. Help us to thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're dismissed from that.